Now let me just remind you where we're coming from. The first week we spent in Romans chapter 12 looking at the whole subject of spiritual gifts and the importance of spiritual gifts, the importance of why God gave gifts to His church, to us, His people. And we got into some detail about the reasons why He did it and how important it is for us to know those gifts. And if you missed that first Wednesday night, I know we have a tape of that. Are we going to have a tape of tonight's too, Dale? Are we going to have a tape? Good. I know we got a tape of the first one, and I would strongly encourage you to listen to it just to get the undergirding, the background, the basis, the foundation of what we're doing now. And then last week, if you missed that one, I would encourage you to get that tape also. It's all one tape, front and back, I think. And last week, we covered some things like the biblical evidence that there are three categories of spiritual gifts. Now, I've said all along that this isn't the only way to study spiritual gifts. And you may have heard somebody teach it a different way, or you may in the future hear somebody teach it a different way. And the Lord can use different methods of teaching spiritual gifts effectively. And I'm not saying this is the only way, and don't think I'm criticizing anybody that teaches it differently. But this way of studying spiritual gifts has brought an enormous amount of joy and satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment to God's people in places where it's been taught and applied. So I just believe it may do the same for us. And a lot of understanding of each other, and a lot of just the church kind of coming together in a way maybe that they hadn't before. So I'm praying that'll be the case for us too. So there are three categories of gifts. We studied this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The motivational gifts, which refers to the gift that God gave you when you were saved. And it's kind of the motivation that drives you as a Christian. It you may not have quite understood it up until now, but there is a drive within you that's not just natural. It's a supernatural drive that the Holy Spirit put within you when you trusted Jesus, when you were saved. And God wants you to develop that gift and use it for His glory and to minister to the body. Then there are ministry gifts that are mentioned in the Bible, which we believe are specific, we might think of them as jobs or responsibilities. A pastor or a teacher or an evangelist, or there are other jobs in the church, you know, all kinds of responsibilities. You know, there are people fulfilling ministries who are in charge of different committees or serving on different committees. Or there's a tremendous ministry being done when somebody greets people in the church and makes it his or her business to just greet people and make people feel welcome in the church every Sunday. All kinds of ministries like that going on. So those are ministry gifts. And then we talked about manifestation gifts for a while last time, which we believe are specific gifts that the Holy Spirit gives at a specific period, point in time to accomplish a purpose that God has in mind. And we gave some illustrations of that. I used you for an illustration. Did you get a chance to listen to last week's tape yet? I used your illustration of the buying the Bible. You know, just an impression from God to do something that you wouldn't have ordinarily done. Didn't quite make sense, but you didn't need a Bible, but you bought it because God wanted you to buy it because He had a reason for it and He had a purpose for it. And God does that to different ones of us from time to time if we'll be sensitive to Him. And then I pointed out that the danger now of manifestation gifts can come when Christians want them so badly that they start trying to get God to do it. You don't do it that way. You know, you're just ready. You're just walking with the Lord, and from time to time He'll impress you, or He'll lead you to do something, or He'll give you a word of understanding or an insight, and those are manifestation gifts. We gave several examples of that last time. We also talked about why we need to understand these things, why we need to understand spiritual gifts, and we gave some of the evidence that we receive one and only one motivational gift. If you remember, there's probably some pretty strong evidence that we receive one motivational gift and only one, and we gave the reasons for that last week. And then finally, we listed 10 different keys to discovering your gift. And it's important, if you really want to understand what your gift is, that you learn those 10 keys and understand them so that you can be more likely to find it. For example, if you're not saved, you're not going to figure out what your spiritual gift is because you don't have one. And if you're saved but you're not really walking with the Lord, it's going to be tough to find your spiritual gift. And we gave several things like that that will help you understand your gift. So if you haven't listened to the tape, listen to it. Now, before we get to the specific gifts, I want to give just a few cautions here. One of them has to do with this word balance. I believe maybe one of the most important words in a Christian life is balance. And it can be misused. The word balance needs to be balanced. I know that sounds weird, but you see what can happen to us is it's easy for Christians to go to seed down here or over here. We're going a narrow journey here. The Lord's got a path for us to go, and there are ditches on both sides. And if we're not careful, we'll just veer off into a ditch. Before we know it, we've just gone into a ditch, and we're off balance. We're not where God wants us to be. There are some people, though, that use balance to try to say, well, I don't want to be too judgmental. I don't want to be too harsh and so forth. And that's true. There's a balance there. But we can use balance to water ourselves down. We don't want to do that. You know, sometimes we need to be extreme for the Lord, if you know what I mean. There's a time for balance, and there's a time for being extreme. But in the matter of spiritual gifts, sometimes when people begin to understand their gift, they focus only and totally and completely on it, thinking this is what I'm supposed to do, and that's true. But at the same time, we're supposed to be learning from each other. And if somebody has a gift different from us, we're supposed to learn from them better ways to live the Christian life, you know, more effective ways to behave like Christians. We learn how to serve other people's physical needs by paying attention to the way servers do it. We learn how to study the Bible more effectively by paying attention to the way teachers do it. We learn how to apply the Bible so that we can grow spiritually and become more mature in Christ by watching how exhorters do it. You see what I'm saying? If you're not an exhorter, you'll never be able to function primarily like an exhorter with any degree of joy. It'll be frustrating to you to try to do that. Having said that, though, we do need to learn. We do need to keep growing. And you will find that Christians who are very, very mature in the Lord sometimes find it difficult to discover their gift because they've learned many of these other things from other people with other gifts. I think I mentioned that last time, but we've got to find that balance. So, and that leads to my second point. Don't be frustrated if it takes you a little time. I gave you several reasons last time why it might take longer for some people than others to find their spiritual gift. What is very common, though, at least we've experienced this, is many times people will narrow it down to one or two. That's very common. And they'll say, well, I think I'm either an exhorter or a teacher, or I think I'm either I have the gift of service, or I have the gift of mercy, but they struggle with it a little bit. And sometimes if you've studied all the characteristics and you feel like I'm just not sure, maybe the best thing to do is to pick one and say, okay, I'm gonna pray and ask God to give me wisdom, and I'm going to go ahead and try to act like a server. You know, I'm going to assume that's my gift. And after a few months of that, you may find, boy, this is heavy. This is not really bringing me joy. It's bringing me weariness. Then that may be a clue that you need to do another approach, okay? Now, so don't be frustrated if it takes you a little time. A third caution, and I think this is very important, and we see it so often. Be very, very careful about believing that you can see what somebody else's gift is better than they can, because that'll happen. And sometimes we're right. You know, we'll see somebody else, and when you start seeing these characteristics, you'll say, oh, I know what so-and-so's gift is, and you think you know. You really believe it because you've seen them act that way. And it may be right. You may be right. A lot of times you are. But a lot of times you don't know what's really down inside that's motivating them to do that. Only they know. So let's leave it to the Lord and them to figure out what their gift is, you know. And the Lord will show them. He'll show them. He might use us to help them a little bit. We might say, well, I've seen you do this, and I've seen you do this. And that may help. I'm not saying don't help. Just don't be too forceful about it, you know. I mean, let give people a little room to make their own decision. Now, we've run into some little problems like that. Now, some other people might be wondering, how on earth do you come up with these characteristics? I mean, is all this in the Bible? And I want to try to answer that question. What we have to perceive here that we're doing is we've launched a study of Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 primarily, also Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. But we've done a little study there that we are trying to apply. And so this is an extended application of the Scripture to our lives. And so what we're trying to do is apply this truth. Now, that doesn't mean we have all the last word, and sometimes the application won't quite be right. But the way that these characteristics were arrived at is like this. Bible students studied the implications of the Greek words. You know, there's a Greek word behind all these words: serving, prophecy, exhorting, teaching, giving. You know, there's a Greek word behind each one. So they studied the Greek word, how the Greek word is used in context and so forth. And they try to get an understanding of the general overview of what that gift's all about by studying the Greek words. Then they begin to identify people who have that gift and seem pretty clearly to have that gift as it's shown in the Greek words. You follow me here? They say, okay, this person evidently, according to this Greek word, this person probably has a gift of serving or prophecy or whatever. And what they do is after they've identified several of these people, they start trying to study these people's lives and say, well, let's see what makes these people tick. Let's see what they really like. Let's see what motivates them and how they tend to respond to different situations. And through studying that, they arrive at these characteristics. They also try to study people in the Bible that seem to demonstrate certain ones of these gifts. I'll give you a few examples of that as we go along. But there are characters in the Bible that seem to manifest these gifts. And they study their lives. And so from all of this, they put together these characteristics. And that's what you're getting in your handouts there. Now, these characteristics are not the final word, and it doesn't mean that everybody who has the gift shows all these characteristics. These are just tendencies that seem to be manifested by people who have this gift. They tend to be this way. And you'll begin to see what I mean, and you'll begin to picture people in your mind as we go through some of this.